Welcome to another edition of SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan with Mike Prada from Bullets Forever and SB Nation DC. I'm Scott Jackson, and well, the Caps get it done in amazing fashion in Game 4. We will get into that here in a bit with Adam Bingen from Kings of Leonsis and SB Nation DC. But Mike, it's that time of year. It's like no other. The National Football League releases the schedule. We're going to go 1 through 16 and pick the winners for the Redskins, even though we don't know who's going to be on the team because there's been no free agency.
Well, it'll be irrelevant because they won't play eight of those games. And I don't know about you, but I have a bit – I mean, I know that it's doing the opposite would kind of send the wrong message.
Sure.
But I still have a bit of a problem with the NFL releasing the schedule and then locking out with the players still locked out.
Sure. I do, too. I think the whole thing's good. I thought it was cheesy when they released the preseason schedule. The other day, I'm watching and then listening. Obviously, everybody has to do this, pretend you know which games a team's going to win. And they've had no real free agency. You had a little brief period we could sign guys that were already released, which the Redskins did, obviously, with the Togwe. But that's it. I mean, that's all you've had. You know, the draft's obviously coming up. We've always been in that position before. But it has kind of dampered what used to be kind of an exciting day. Yeah,
yeah.
It's always cool to see the schedule. But as we know, you know, the strength of schedule and stuff, it never translates from April to September and even through the season.
That's a great point, because if you look at the Redskins' schedule, they don't have a lot of tough games on there right now.
Yeah.
You know, but
who knows?
It always turns out differently once, because last year they had a last place schedule too, and I think nobody would argue that they had an easy schedule last year at the
Not
end
at
of the
all.
Day.
No.
You know, I think that that's just a good point. I mean, you look at who's on there. I mean, Arizona doesn't seem that imposing. Carolina doesn't seem that imposing. Buffalo or in Toronto. You know, San Francisco. I mean, these teams don't look that strong now, but you never know. I mean, maybe San Francisco finally turns a corner and maybe Arizona bounces back. You never know how good a team is, you know, until you see how it plays out, until they play their abbreviated schedule because of this lockout.
Right. And look, those teams, I got news for you. In those cities, are saying, well, the Redskins, they're not any good. I mean, they're not exactly scared of the Redskins, who don't have a quarterback under contract right now that has ever done anything. I mean, so that, you know, that's going to be on the team at least, because obviously McNabb, we all know, is gone as soon as they can make that happen. So, I mean, you're talking about Beck as the only guy under contract. I think they'll probably will re-sign Grossman as a stopgap for whoever, you know, unknown quarterback is that they perhaps get in the upcoming draft. But there's just so many unknowns. That defense has got a ton of holes that need to be filled still. You know, the offense certainly could use help at wide receiver and running back. So there's a lot of things still to be decided with the Redskins, let alone all the other teams around the league, to kind of get really jazzed up about the schedule like maybe you could in years past when you at least had that free agent period to think about.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. I think that's definitely true. And I just, you know, when it came out, I just couldn't muster up that much enthusiasm about it. I mean,
but I'm sick of seeing the Giants in week one, by the way. I don't know
but
about you.
Don't you think it is kind of cool that they're playing the game one? I like how they're saying, you know, because it's the 9/11 kind of 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, sure.
I like how they're saying, you know, oh, by the way, there are some people in D.C. that were also killed in those attacks.
That's true.
I thought that was really a nice touch. And I think that's going to be a really – and you know how the home opener in D.C. with the Redskins is – now, it would be really unfortunate, I think, if they don't play that game, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point, and that's obviously what we're still trying to figure out. And, you know, it looks like, you know, by Monday, at least court-wise, the process could really get rolling as the judge will rule. And if the injunction goes in, then obviously the owners are going to do their thing and appeal, and we could go on, and the courts could fight it out for a while. But, yeah, while all that's going on, though, the schedule and whatnot, of course, the players are trying to get on with business as usual. Redskins players this week holding a practice, two days of practice, mini camp in Northern Virginia, trying to keep things going. What were your thoughts on this? I mean, a lot of guys obviously participated, about 30 people, or 30 players, rather. It was about an hour, but let's face it, it's not the same thing as when coaches are running it, when Mike Shanahan's running it, they're running plays, and they know what they're going to do, and there's a specific reason for it, there's a buildup. This, to me, just seems like a bunch of guys getting together and working out.
And what's wrong with it? That's good, isn't it?
That's a
good thing.
I don't know. It's just, you know, some guys should.
No, you were kind of unenthusiastic about it.
I'm unenthusiastic about it because
I don't
think it really matters, you know? I really don't think it matters that much.
Well, I mean, that's the most they can do. Like, they can't hold an organized practice, I mean, because they're locked out. I mean, what are they. I like that even though they're trying to do something, you know, maybe it's not the most productive thing in the world because they don't have coaches, but they can have coaches. It's like,
right,
the alternative should not be to lay around and do nothing.
Well, they can work out on their own. I mean, they could go meet at you know, the gym or whatever and work out. I don't know if them getting on the field together really accomplishes much. You know, when you're doing it again as a team and you only have 30 guys, which is really, you know, not many at all when you consider what the roster is going to end up
being. Yeah, but how many of those, but that's because they have a lot of free agents.
Right.
I mean, there's no reason for Santana Moss to be there.
Here's my point. What's more important this offseason, these informal workouts or A, having a good draft and B, having a really good free agency?
Yeah, but who, they don't, the players don't control the draft and the free agency period. That's management. Yeah.
So, I think a lot of this is for show, to be honest with you.
I disagree.
It's swell that they're doing this, and it makes them look like, hey, they're doing something. They should be. This is their job. They should be in shape.
I don't agree.
I just don't think in the big picture it's going to matter one way or another. This is going to have nothing to do with what happens in September and October, November, December, assuming, of course.
Maybe. That might be true, but I don't think this is just for show because they're desperately trying. They're keeping the location a secret. Mm-hmm. They're not really they're throwing off the media for where they are. They're not opening up to the fans. And if you actually watch the video, it's just them in a bunch of kind of,
right,
you know, sweatshirts and sweatpants and shorts. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is a publicity stunt at all, because if it was, then they'd invite more people there to watch it. This isn't like Cam Newton inviting, you know, all those people to his workout, you know, to his quote-unquote private workout and having them film it. I just can't buy this.
But enough people found out. At least one person was able to find out and film it, though. So,
well,
I mean, yeah, I can hear you. They don't want to sign autographs. Bottom line is they don't want to sign autographs after the thing. That's what it is.
I mean, but of course they were going to. That's true, but that just, I don't know if it matters at the end of the day, but I like it. I think it's a nice gesture, and I think it's the kind of thing where, I don't know, maybe it does make a difference. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it does. But what I do know is that doing nothing certainly doesn't do anything.
No, I would agree with that. But I think guys were going to work out and have been working out regardless because it's their job. Let's face it, the guys that are committed to this thing, the guys that care are going to do that. It still doesn't mean the Redskins are any better or any worse because of it. And that's all. I just think this has been overvalued a little bit. And this, oh, my God, they're working out together. A lot of teams are going to do this.
Well, a lot of teams are doing this, right? Aren't the Saints doing it?
Yeah, and it just doesn't. It isn't going to matter unless, of course, you have the players. And that's what it really boils down to me for the Redskins is if they don't get significantly better at, well, a lot of positions in their case, it's really, I don't know, it's just window dressing right now to me.
Yeah, but
that's what happened.
The other thing, though, is don't we talk a lot about how the culture of this organization needs to change?
Yeah, but you need better players.
No, you're right. You're right.
You need better players.
You do.
Really.
But don't you think that there's some value in that they're coming together as a team and doing something on their own power, whereas the old culture of the organization, I guess, would have been that these guys don't work as hard.
Right.
They go to the owner and they complain about
Year's team did there was a cultural change, so to speak, but it didn't matter because it wasn't a talent change.
Well, it doesn't matter right away. I mean, they got to get better, too. But don't you think that was, this is a good, positive step? Now, however big that step is, it's still a step.
I know people try to equate this to what happened in the 87 season strike year when nobody crossed the picket line because Joe Gibbs wouldn't allow, but this is different. This is a lockout, A, B, that was a strike. And C, yes, the Redskins were so different than other teams then because other teams were, you know, crossing the picket line, and a lot of big-time players, especially the Cowboys, obviously, did it, and the Redskins, you know, replacement player scabs, whatever you call them, were able to take them down. I don't think one should be try to use that as, oh, well, that happened in 87, so this is just like that. This is not even close to that.
No, it's not. But
not even close to the
same thing.
Think
it's a good, it's like, it's kind of like when you are working out, like, just in general, as a human being, you know, there might be some periods where you miss working out, you miss a day or something,
sure,
or you miss, and then you have to work so much harder to get back to where you were because you missed that day. And now to be able to kind of have these guys come together as a team and kind of do this, I think it's kind of similar. Not in that, yeah, sure, they could have worked up on their own, but they're still doing something as a group, you know, doing, running through some sort of reads and, you know, being able to interact with each other, that if they don't do it, I think they're if they do it, I don't know if it makes a big difference, but if they don't do it, I think it does make a big difference negatively. Does that make sense?
Yeah, possibly. And I understand, again, it's a good sign of the fans, and it gets a lot of people, you know, are going to really, you know, be happy with the 30 guys that were there, that were known to be there, and that part of it can't hurt. But I just think when they actually get to a real mini camp or a real training camp, or whatever comes next, probably training camp, a real abbreviated version of it, I don't think Mike Shanahan and Kyle and, you know, Jim Hasler could go, okay, guys, let's get into the stuff you were working on those 2 days in Northern Virginia.
You're right. But one last point. if you're not there, if you're one of the third, if you're under contract and you're not there, don't you think that those people that weren't there lost respect from the people who were there?
Depends on what the situation, you know. I mean, look, everybody's
true,
got whatever.
But...
I mean, it's not like this is a traditional time of year necessarily to have a mini camp. I mean, I don't know. I mean, usually it's after the draft, right? I mean, isn't that the first camp? It's usually right after the draft. So.
Yeah. Well. You're probably right. I mean, maybe they have something going on, but it's still, I think, maybe if you looked at it the other way, it's like if you are here, not if you're not here, you don't lose respect, but if you are there, you certainly gain it.
Well, let's hope it gains something. I mean, again, more gains will be, the most important gains will be between, obviously, D'Amore Smith and Roger Goodell and the owners.
That's true.
You know, that's the most important gain. Or, of course, the courts just saying, no, you guys are wrong. They're going back to work. You can't stop it coming up next week. So hopefully one or the other will happen very soon. We know the draft's going to happen. We're going to talk about it later on with Dan Schifferoff from SB Nation DC. And we're going to talk to Adam Vingan next. Caps pull out a victory from the jaws of defeat on Wednesday night. What will it mean headed into the weekend? We'll get to it coming up. It's SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson, Mike Prada here on 106.7 The Fan.